All right. Now we're going to take a tour of univariate statistics, first for qualitative data, then the stuff you know best, which is the parametric things, treating the data as normally distributed interval measure, and then the non-parametric stuff that's supposed to be the focus of the class. So central tendency. There are all these different characterizations of what's meant by central tendency. I grew up in a small town. I'm a homey sort of guy. The way I like to think about central tendency is, what's your best guess of the next case's value? If you've got data from a sample of a population, and somebody from that population is about to walk through the door, what's your best guess of their score? Okay? And it's going to be scores in the middle of what the scores tend to be, central tendency. The mode is the unit of central tendency measurement for qualitative variables. It's the most common score or scores, because there's no guarantee that the distribution will be unimodal. It might be that there are as many dog lovers as there are cinnamon African pygmy hedgehog lovers. That's our newest pet. Okay. And there's a difference between a unimodal, a bimodal, and a multimodal distribution, because unimodal, you've only got one best guess. If it's bimodal, then you've got multiple best guesses. Itself a crisis. Variability, not a great variability measure, but what we're trying to get in a variability measure, also sometimes known as spread, although the notion of spread assumes numerical data rather than qualitative data, an index of the accuracy of the next guess. When you make that guess, what are the chances you're going to be right? And what we have as an index of that with categorical data is the number of categories. It's a really simple idea. The more categories there are, the harder it is to guess what category somebody comes from. So, modal gender is more likely to be a correct guess of the next person than is modal type of pet, just because there's more categories of the latter. It's not complicated, but it really works well. Shape. Two aspects of shape that we'll pay attention to, symmetry and proportional distribution, doesn't make sense for qualitative data because there is no prescribed order. Same thing we talked about in the last slide. Okay. All right. Parametric univariate statistics for normally distributed and interval measured variables. Central tendency, still the same idea, the best guess of the next case's value. The mean or the arithmetic average is the most information we can get out of the data, sum of x over n. It is the first moment of the normal distribution formula. If you do a calculus, if you do the first moment, what you get is that formula back, sum of x over n. Way nicer than that nasty formula. If the data are normally distributed, since normally distributed data are a combination of unimodal and symmetrical, the mode, the mean, and the median will all be the same thing if all of the assumptions are met. Happy time. Variability. We have several different measures of variability used for different things. We have the sum of squares, the full name for which is the sum of squared deviations from the mean. Yes. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'll be a minute.
Sorry.
No, thank you. All right, so we have these different indexes of variability. They're used for different things. Some of the squares and variance are sort of mathematically convenient for building other statistics out of, where the standard deviation is usually how we represent the variability. The mean and the standard deviation are usually how we describe a set of data in two numbers. The sum of squares is the sum of squared deviations from the mean. The bigger this number, the more the scores are spread out from the mean on average. The variance really is an averaging of the sum of squares. We take the sum of squares and we divide by n minus 1. And the reason we divide by n minus 1 is that a sample, on average, is less variable than a population. And so a sample tends to be negatively biased. A sample tends to tell us that the population variability is less than it really is. Based on the central limits theorem that I'll show you later in the course, the correction factor of minus 1 gives us a really good improvement in how much the sample data represents the population data. And then you take the square root of that, and what you have now is the standard deviation, which is preferred because it's in the same scale as the mean. Sums of squares, variance, and standard deviation, in an important sense, are all carrying the same information. The advantage of the standard deviation is it carries it in the same scale as the mean, which makes it easier to think about. The standard deviation is the second moment of the normal distribution formula, and it's, that's spelled badly, it's the average extent of deviation of each score from the mean. On average, how much does each score differ from the mean? So it has a very direct, very straightforward interpretation. If I've got a mean of 5, or let's just say I've got a mean of 15 and a standard deviation of 5, that tells me my best guess of the next person coming in the door is 15, and on average I'm going to be wrong by 5. There's more stuff to a normal distribution. We have shape. And under shape, we have an index of symmetry, which is skewness. And notice that basically what we're doing with skewness is the same thing we did with the standard deviation, only now we're cubing instead of squaring. If you take something to the third power, you start to get an index of which side the error's on. And if it's asymmetrical, it accumulates to a larger value. This is the third moment of the normal distribution. And when this formula is applied, 0 means it's symmetrical. Positive skewness means it's right-tailed. Negative skewness means it's left-tailed. And the idea is that you can't be skewed and negatively distributed at the same time. So substantial skewing means that the data are not normally distributed. And that may influence our choice of statistics later in the process. The other aspect of shape is an index of proportional distribution. How are the scores spread out? And that's kurtosis. And notice that it's still pretty much the same formula, only now we're taking things to the fourth root. The minus 3 is to make our lives simpler. And you have to be a little bit careful because there's no way to cover this up. You cover it up just on the back of me if I move my hand up. Lighter? No. Okay, so you'll sometimes see this formula, you'll sometimes see the same formula, and it matters so that you know how to interpret the number you get. If you have the minus 3 formula, then 0 means that the data are proportionally distributed as a normal distribution. Positive means it's leptocurtic, too much in the middle. Negative means it's platycurtic, too much in the tails. Obviously, if you use the other formula, then we're talking about 3 means it's normally distributed. More than 3 is leptocurtic, less than 3 is platycurtic. And you have to pay attention because not all statistical packages use the same formula.
Do you know what SPSS uses?
I believe SPSS uses this formula with a 0. 0 makes more sense. It's a nice, 0 is a nice pivot point. Now, it's important to keep in mind that these four moments that we've talked about, the mean, the standard deviation, the skewness, and the kurtosis, are all independent. All combinations are possible. Any two distributions can differ on any one, two, three, or all four of these. Also, the mean and the standard deviation make the most sense as indices of central tendency and spread if the skewness is zero and the kurtosis is zero. And this is back to what we were talking about before. The formulas for the mean and the standard deviation were derived from the formula for a normal distribution, which has no skewness and no kurtosis. So if the data are skewed and kurtotic, and that's a real word, then those formulas, these happy little friendly formulas that we know and love, aren't going to do a good job of telling us about the middle and the spread of the data. It's as simple as, if the data are asymmetrical, then the mode and the mean and the median aren't going to be the same number, and which of them is your better index of central tendency? If the data are not symmetrical, if the data are asymmetrical, then looking at variability on the short side versus the long side, and ignoring whether the data are from the short side or the long side around the mean, doesn't make sense. And this number isn't a good index of variability, because what you really need is variability indices for the long side and for the short side. Okay? So this is back to that assumption stuff. Now, if your data are not normally distributed or are not interval, let's take a look at the non-parametric univariate statistics that we might use. Now, central tendency still means the best guess of the next case's value. If all we have is rank order information, we need an index that only pays attention to rank order information, but gives us something useful, and that turns out to be the median. The middlemost value is your best guess. The middlemost value means 50% of the scores are lower, 50% of the scores are higher, also known as the 50th percentile or the second quartile. Just different words for the same thing. How do you calculate the median? Well, the first thing you do, you need to get used to, because you're going to do a lot of this, which is order the data values. So here's a set of data from a small sample lined up in order. We then assign a depth to each value starting at each end. So this is the lowest, this is the highest. Second lowest, second highest, both get a 2. Okay? So we end up with the depth in the middle. Okay? Now, I should tell you there's a whole bunch of different ways of doing this. I like this one. This is a Tukey thing, using depths and calculating everything from depths. I'm a Tukey guy. We then calculate the depth of the median. You don't directly calculate the value of the median. First, you calculate the depth of the median. And the depth of the median is n plus 1 over 2, which is 7 plus 1 over 2, which is 4. And then the median is that value with that depth. 18. Okay? Now, the other way to do this, which works pretty well, is line them up, figure out how many there are, count halfway. Same thing. But doing the depth of the median will make the next thing we have to do easier, which is variability. An index of the accuracy of the next guess. What we tend to use on the non-parametric side when our data are either not normally distributed and or not intervally measured is the interquartile range. It's the range of the middle 50%. Within what range is the middle 50% of the scores? Mathematically speaking, there's nothing magical about 50%. We could have said, what's the range of 100%? Then we'd simply have the range. We could have picked anything we wanted. They picked 50% because one of the things you tend to do if all you have is ordinal data is divide things up into fourths. First you divide up into halves, you divide each half into halves, now you've got fourths. And what's the range of the middle 50%? Which is the difference between the third and the first quartile. So like before, we line them up and give them a depth. We then calculate the median depth, same as we did before. We then calculate the quartile depth, which is the median depth plus 1 over 2 gives us the quartile depth. And that's 2.5. And whenever you get half of a rank or half of a depth, all that you do is you take the average of the ones on either side of that. So the so 2.5 is the average of 2 and 3. And so the first quartile is the average of 13 and 16. Make sense? The 2.5 is the average of 2 and 3. So the third quartile is the average of 18 and 21. So 50% of our scores are between the range of 14.5 and 19.5. And that's how we calculate the IQR, which would be 5. So if I tell you I've got a median of 5 and an IQ, or a median of 18 and an IQR of 5, that means, all right, we've got a median of 18 and 95% of the scores are between, or 50% of the scores are between 5 above and 5 below. So you come up 2.5, you come down 2.5, you got a pretty good guess. There is no really sweet interpretation of the interquartile range like there is of the standard deviation. I mean, that interpretation of the standard deviation, that's the average error if you estimate everybody to have the mean, is pretty nice. It's kind of homey and friendly and just a very simple number. And there is no equivalent expression for the median. It's just the range of the middle 50%.